lots of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But we're going to wrap it up for today. In case you're wondering where Fatia is in all this, because she hasn't talked in a while, she had to leave early. So she creeped on out of here.
Yeah.
But
snuck away.
Amelia and I will say farewell. We hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books.
Yay. And
until then, happy reading.
Bye.
Summer days are filled with rain, and the clouds just won't stop crying. This is when love goes away, and our hearts fail like dying. Standing here, crying blood and tears, wasted years for life and its unchanged way. This is where love goes away. Just to keep on keeping on. Springtime came and told us so, of opening up our hearts, y'all just sweet. I found it so hard to do. Now left
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m. every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with music for the masses from Catskill with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC afternoon noon show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Accra on 90.7 WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Mary Jo Downing of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Teens from Hudson on at 7 p.m. on the Bound by Books show, talking about what they've been reading lately. Counterspin follows at 7:30 p.m., and then we're live from the Avalon Lounge with three bands, Abe Hollow, Market, and Eli Cruz. Tune in at 8 p.m., and then Guy Welchick takes over with Guy and Friends with Club Techno House Music at 10 p.m. Stay tuned. Time for Clubhouse Radio.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Well, tell her that I miss our little talks.
This is the news.
Soon it will be over.
This is the news.
We used to play.
Hi, this is Rodney Greenblatt.
And full of life and full of love.
You're gone, gone, gone away. I watched you disappear. All that's left is a ghost of you. Now we're torn, torn, torn apart. There's nothing we can do. Just let me go, we'll meet again soon.
Now wait, wait, wait for me. Please hang.
Yeah. Though the truth may vary, this ship will carry our bodies safe to shore.
Hello, oops there. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Clubhouse Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. And our program is brought to you by the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. And today, we're joined with the Visions and Dreams for Creative Learning Incorporated. And we're going to be talking about Roe versus Wade today. But until then, we do got to play the news and weather. So we will see you guys very soon.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Residents of Stockport are being advised to boil their water until further notice following a large water main break on Wednesday, August 3rd, according to Stockport officials. Department of Public Works and Water Department crews located the break in the area of Route 9 and County Route 22. The impacted areas were north of the Whitewater tank on Route 9, where homes had low pressure or no water at all. The crews working on the break encountered difficulties in making repairs, which required shutting down the entire system. When water service returned, it was then necessary for customers to boil their water before drinking it or using it for cooking. The break was repaired by late Wednesday, and all homes should have their water service restored. A boil water order was immediately put into place until further notice. The Centers for Disease Control issued guidelines for making water safe. If the water is cloudy, first filter it through a clean cloth, paper towel, or coffee filter, or allow it to settle. Then draw off the clear water and bring that water to a rolling boil for 1 minute. Let the boil water cool and then store it in clean, sanitized containers with tight covers. Town officials said the boil water order will remain in place until test results return from the state laboratory. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Liz Montgomery is reporting for Porcupine Soup. The GlaxoSmithKline Consumer Health Care Division is now officially an independent company following the completion of a demerger in July from the multinational pharmaceutical giant. The new company, known as Haleon, produces a variety of products including Sensodyne, Voltaren, Panadol, and Centrum, among others. All GlaxoSmithKline facilities that produce consumer healthcare brands are now under the Haleon logo. This includes the plant on State Route 145 in Oak Hill that manufactures oral care products. GlaxoSmithKline has not provided details on how the $36 million demerger will impact plants like Oak Hill, but company sources say business is expected to continue as usual. The Oak Hill facility employs approximately 300 people. Headquartered in England, GlaxoSmithKline officially introduced Haleon to investors in late February. The company is keeping a 20% ownership stake in the spinoff, with its shareholders receiving the remaining 80%. GlaxoSmithKline will maintain the vaccine and pharmaceutical divisions. The Oak Hill properties are still owned by GlaxoSmithKline. Its Consumer Healthcare Holdings division is currently challenging the town of Durham on the assessed value of the 71-acre parcel that includes the 85,000-square-foot plant. The company took legal action on July 27th in Greene County Supreme Court, arguing that the $39 million assessed value of the property should be reduced to $10.2 million. And you can read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com. The Daily Freeman is reporting U.S. Route 9W will be closed in both directions between Dock and Main Streets in Saugerties beginning Monday, August 8th through Friday, September 30th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The closure is necessary to accommodate a gas main installation, weather permitting. The New York State Department of Transportation said motorists should expect delays and follow the posted detour using Washington Avenue and Division and Cedar Streets. Drivers are advised to slow down and drive responsibly in work zones, where fines are doubled for speeding.
Information is available online at 511ny.org. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website, WGXC.org, for weather updates, town meetings, and the community calendar. While you're there, you can click on the donate button to become a sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, August 5th. Early morning temperatures range from 67 degrees over in Bern to 71 in Red Hook. Soil temperature is 72. Heat warnings are out for today. Mugginess isn't going away and dew points will be in the low 70s. Winds will be calm, so no help there. Storm activity rolls through around noon, then gets stronger before dark. A high of 90 happens at 2 p.m. After dark, rain keeps going and we see a humid feeling low of 70 degrees that matches the dew point. That's the sort of thing that boosts air conditioner sales. Saturday, rain chances remain all day and temperatures rise to 90 degrees. A very humid 71 degrees overnight takes us into a hot Sunday with a high of 93 and a stormy looking afternoon. Monday, the pattern of highs in the low 90s with a stormy afternoon continues. Expect heat warnings both days this weekend. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:20 a.m., high tide at 8:40 a.m., low tide again at 3:19 p.m., and high tide once again at 9:25 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 81 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:57 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:49 a.m. Looking way up, we see we got a 60% chance of low to medium range flares today. Astronomers are a little blindsided as repairs are being made to the Solar Dynamics Observatory's data lines. Plasma stream interaction is expected early next week due to a mid-latitude coronal hole. Solar wind speed is currently 399 kilometers per second at 5.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair for AM radio, but that's about it until dark. Then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 52. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to WGXC 90.7 FM Clubhouse Radio. And this program is brought to you by the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. And today, we are joined by a couple of lovely guests. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Robin. I was here a bit ago, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it's great having you again.
Hi, my name's Lily.
And we are also joined by our co-hosts,
DJ Ricky,
DJ Shaw Money.
He's here too. So today, our topic, I mentioned this before, it's a little bit heavy. I tried to start us off a little bit light, but we're going to be talking about the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And I could introduce this, but you guys would do a much, much better job than me. So, yeah. What would you guys like to start us off with?
So we were hoping to start the conversation about, like, how did we even get to a point where this is able to happen? Because Roe v. Wade was, it was a court decision in the 1970s, and as you know, it's now 2022, so it's been about 50 years that is considered settled law by 70% of Americans. And 70% is a huge... It's a huge number when it comes to a divided issue like that. So the Supreme Court has 9 justices, none of which have term limits. And so they never have to run for re-election. They never have to have voter approval. And therefore, they can basically do whatever they want. So them overturning Roe v. Wade, they claim that it's because they're constitution originalists, which means that they just read the Constitution word for word and they make their decisions based on the Constitution. But the thing is, almost nothing is in the Constitution. Like, the only people in the Constitution are land-owning white men, like property-owning white men. Like, not even anyone else.
Yeah. Not even that. You can make the Constitution say anything you want because it is made to be vague, open to interpretation for when it needed to change. But
exactly.
They don't like that. They just kind of...
No, like, they're using that term, Constitution originalists, in order to, like, excel their own ideas and use it as an excuse. Like, that, it's just not what they are. It's...
Yeah. Extremely difficult to even amend anything that's in the Constitution, so it's pretty ridiculous that a literal 9 people can change the course of like millions, approximately like 36 million women's lives and uterus havers' lives across the globe. So that's in the United States.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court in their leak, which. By the way, this is the first leak the Supreme Court has ever had, which is another big historical thing in the same day. But, yeah, we still don't know who did the leak. Could have been one of the 5 members trying to expose the leak. Therefore, it locks in the votes of those voting to overturn Roe v. Wade. Or it could have been one of the 4 trying to keep it as a warning. But Clarence Thomas did write that he is... planning on looking for cases on Griswold versus Connecticut, which is protecting the right to contraception. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. The right to contraception, and then the Obergefell case, which protects the right for gay marriage. He is looking for cases currently to overturn both of those.
Okay, so. Let's take that one at a time, because both of those are pretty astounding. Let's start with the first one first. Banning okay. That word. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I can't
it's a hard
say
word.
I can't say it, but we know what it is. And it's, like, if you're really pro-life, then that prevents people from getting inseminated when they don't want to. It's
exactly.
A no-brainer. If you really want to ban that, then you're not pro-life, you're pro-birth, and then when the kid grows up, you let them die.
You are pro-controlling women's bodies.
You're pro-life for, like, just until they pop out, and then
yeah.
You want to kill them.
Yeah, because it's like, how are you banning abortion and contraception? How are you banning all birth control? Because then what? What, is sex only used for making babies? Like, that's, everyone knows that that only leads to more, higher cases of STDs, and more unwanted pregnancies when
yeah.
People don't have the right to contraception.
Yeah, it's also an important thing to mention that, like, contraception is not just used as birth control, and it's highly important in a healthy sex life, and I think that's, like, something that's extremely important to mention. Also, it's insane that, Noah, kind of, you touched on the idea that, you know, they are fully supportive of pro-life up until the baby comes out of the womb, but we also live in a country that doesn't even have universal health care.
Yeah.
So it's like, you want us to produce mass amounts of babies, and then you don't actually even want to pay to take care of them and for them to even go to the doctor's office.
Yeah.
And to simply birth a baby is expensive. To simply go to the hospital and give birth, is an expensive bill. That a lot of people who can't get abortions can't afford that. So that's a big issue, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, like some people who don't want to have a baby can't even travel to what's known as now safe states where abortion is legal. And who knows? They might not even have enough money for that to, like, travel. And if they do... then what's going to happen after that? What would they do next?
Yeah, I was doing some research, and I saw, like, an absolutely crazy statistic, which was essentially this idea that someone somewhere who lives in the state of Texas would have to travel approximately 243 miles just to reach an abortion clinic available to them. So as we know, you know, these problems affect and impact people who have lower socioeconomic statuses, because, like, who's going to pay for their travel? Who's going to pay for their access to that clinic? Who's going to pay for who's watching, say, their other children or their household or whatever? Like, it's an insane human rights issue, but there's certain people who are being targeted the most. And statistically speaking, those are POC people, and those are low-income families.
Yeah. And the right to interstate travel is being protected currently. Even, like, Brett Kavanaugh, who is one of the justices who voted to overturn Roe v. Wade, said that the Constitution does protect interstate travel, although that doesn't really mean that much when someone in Texas has to travel over 200 miles to get a safe abortion. As well as, like, some companies are paying for their employees to go get an abortion in a safe state. And there was actually the state of Texas. A company got in trouble for giving their employees the money and the transportation to go get an abortion in a safe state. That's the state of Texas cracked down on them on that.
So, I think there's definitely a lot of things we just hit there. I think it's sad how people have to travel, and even if they can. Like, this is not even a given. Not everybody has access to be able to travel that much. But even if they can, think of how much of an expense it is towards that person who, in the first place, might have not even consented.
Yeah. I mean,
that's one thing, too. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. I mean, you have all the trauma, and then you have all of the unwanted pregnancy, and then you have to get your work off, which is really hard for people because some people have bills to pay. They can't take that time off. You need transportation, which is also incredibly difficult to get and very expensive if you don't already have a car, but then, you know, gas money on top of that. So it's going to be expensive no matter what. And that creates a country in which abortions are only safe and legal for the upper class. So it's not even that we're making abortions illegal for everyone. It's a class problem.
Yeah. And what this does also is, it if you're trying to stop the rate of abortions, there's another problem too, because it's going to create a lot of unsafe abortions too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really important thing to talk about, is maternal morbidity rates are going to be sky high. I mean, statistically speaking, mental health experts, like, across the board have said that they can easily predict that maternal morbidity rates are going to be rising by insane amounts, because unsafe abortions are absolutely, I mean, what do you do when you have absolutely no choice and the country that you're living in does not support your right to choose? If you've genuinely decided that you do not want to carry your baby to full term, you are going to make that decision for yourself. And a lot of women are put in a position where they have to risk themselves and their safety in order to fulfill the decision that they chose for themselves and their bodies. And I think that also brings up an insanely different point, which is the idea that women have the right to choose, but there's also a select number of people who are carrying babies that are not medically safe for them. So there's things like ectopic pregnancies. There are tons and tons of medical conditions in which doctors will actually advise patients to not continue any pregnancies when they have things like heart failure, when they have other kinds of medical issues such as renal failure. There's so many factors when it comes to medical reasoning why abortion should be supported, and it's absolutely insane that not only are we prohibiting abortions for any woman's right to choose, but also just the fact that when your life is in danger, you still cannot abort your child.
And as you said before, when you said it was, it could also be, like, not medically safe for the person who is carrying the baby. The person who's carrying the baby could also be too young. There was a case in Ohio about it, like, a 10-year-old girl who got pregnant and had to travel to Indiana just to get it aborted.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, like, no child should have to go through that. Huh?
It's like, not only do children need access to this healthcare, but by preventing everybody from doing it, you could kill children while they're being born too. Because it's not like it's just the easiest process and then you get it over with. It's extremely hard, and I feel like that's under-talked about and that's under-considerated. I feel like most people, it's just a reactionary thing. Like, you hear about it, and then it's just, you feel like you don't like it, and then you do everything you can to just arrive at your conclusion you already had. That's what it feels like.
I mean, abortions are extremely traumatic as well. Like, having to abort a child for most situations is not something that someone wants to go through. It's something that they have to go through. So to make it that much harder for them, it really doesn't make any sense.
No. I mean, if you take a step back and look at the people who are trying to enact this, I mean, did you mention Brett Kavanaugh?
I did mention Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I mean, the people who are doing this, I mean, Brett Kavanaugh is heavily, heavily accused of sexual assault.
So is Clarence Thomas.
It's like the people who are supporting this ban on abortion are sex offenders in themselves.
Yes.
That's kind of...
Yes.
Yeah.
Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, they are the five that voted on this. And, yeah, I mean, two of them have accusations. I mean, I'm not sure about the other ones, really. I didn't look too much into that, but, you know, I wouldn't really be all that surprised.
Yeah, and I think it brings up, you know, the issue that when someone suffers an act of sexual violence, they are not able to make a choice that is right for them and right for their mental health. And that also will affect maternal morbidity rates. And I think that's a really, really dangerous thing. And I think something else that's super crazy is miscarriages. Sometimes when a woman miscarriages, she doesn't actually release the fetus. And that can often lead to complications such as infection and sepsis. And so there is a different kind of care entitled miscarriage care that is pretty much the same protocol as abortion care. And that has also been prohibited alongside the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And it's also considered an abortion, despite the fact that the fetus is not possibly viable in any way and is technically already considered dead by the Supreme Court's standards. I don't know in what, like, realm we are allowing literally no longer the possibility of a life to put a mother's life in danger, a fully present human being who has already lived their life, who has made connections, who has formed deeper thoughts and feelings, and we're putting that person's life in danger because of nine people's horrendous decisions.
But what you said about, like, putting a mother's life in, like, not the person who's carrying a baby, like, mother's life in danger. Also, this overturn of Roe v. Wade also violates against Jewish laws, because those laws prioritize the safety of the woman instead of the child. Mm. And by this being Roe v. Wade being overturned, that word. It pushes other religions onto Jews, which I feel like no one wants. Like, no one wants to be pushed to do something that is against their beliefs.
Yeah, talk about, like the originalist.
Yeah, that is our First Amendment.
Yeah, that's our First
Amendment. That is our First
Amendment. Going against it.
That is everyone's that's favorite traumatic. Amendment. The right to religious freedom. And, yeah, this is, like, a huge, huge problem when it comes to overturning Roe v. Wade. It is a part of Jewish culture that if you need an abortion because it puts the mother's life at stake, the mother's life always comes first, which would mean that that woman would need to get an abortion. So overturning Roe v. Wade, making it illegal, is directly going against the First Amendment right of Jewish women. And so it's like, how are we not even talking enough about that? Because that is a huge, huge problem for so many women.
Yeah, and it's also not the only amendment that is being compromised. I mean, the 14th Amendment is absolutely as well a valid amendment, which is the right to privacy. And that includes the right to not only abortion, but contraception, as well as the right to gay marriage. The 14th Amendment protects all three of those things, mm-hmm. or did until the overturning. And so I find it absolutely fascinating that the Supreme Court, who is supposed to be protecting the Constitution and the rights of the people, are going against two of our highly important amendments that mm-hmm. guarantee the rights of the American people. It just feels a little bit contradictory.
Yeah, I have my notes here, how it could eventually lead into a gay marriage ban, but not mm-hmm. only just gay marriage, interracial marriage is also threatened.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it shows the type of people who, they want this, they don't even, like...
Yeah. That's the thing. Loving versus Virginia, protecting interracial marriage, would also be covered by that amendment. But the thing is, like, that probably will not get overturned because Clarence Thomas is in an interracial marriage. So the thing is, it's like when it affects them, all of a sudden,
yeah.
that's untouchable. But when it's Roe versus Wade and Griswold and Obergefell, that we can all overturn now, I guess.
I mean, and it's absolutely wild that, you know, all of these rulings and all of these Supreme Court decisions happened so long ago. I mean, we are literally in an age in history in which we are moving back in time. That is absolutely just an unbelievable thing. And I think history as we know it will write this kind of thing down in textbooks. Just the fact that, like, we as a people are no longer protecting rights and amendments, and things that we had set in stone for over 50 years.
Yes. I mean, this is the first time the United States has ever restricted rights, taken away rights after giving it to them. And the thing is, it's like, why was this not set in stone? Why is this not law? It wasn't codified ever. 50 years we had to codify it, and we still haven't. The Democrats hold the majority in the House and the Senate, and obviously Joe Biden is the president. And we still haven't codified any of these things because we can't get rid of the filibuster, which is another problem. So there are midterm elections this November, so hopefully we can finally get that done, because otherwise the right to gay marriage and the right to contraception, like, that is very real, and that probably will happen if we can't get that codified soon enough.
Yeah. So I think we hit a lot of good points, and we talked about how it could... or it will, not just could, is going to affect many people. So I think now, since we hit a lot of our key topics, we are going to go for the news, or, yeah, the news update, and we're also going to go for a nice song break to recuperate everything. So if you're listening at home, stay tuned, and we're going to talk about this more when we get back, as well as their organization. We want to talk a little bit more on that, so... we will see you guys soon, right after the news update and song.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC news update. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that Greene County has a skeleton crew of 911 operators as unemployment continues to drop locally and nationally. On August 3rd, at the Greene County Legislature's Public Safety Committee, Emergency Services Director John P. Farrell Jr. said the county has four vacant positions for 911 operators and is not able to have its normal three dispatchers on duty each shift. Farrell said, and I quote, "So they have been running two per shift for the last 5 weeks," end quote. In July, the reduced staff of dispatchers answered 656 EMS calls, 230 fire calls, 1,412 police calls, and 885 miscellaneous calls. Farrell said, and I quote, "It was a pretty busy month, to say the least. They are doing a heck of a job," end quote. Legislator Darrell E. Legg, a Democrat representing Hunter, Lexington, and Halcott, said, and I quote, "We have to offer these people a better living and more incentives," end quote.
Currently, dispatchers in Greene County begin at $37,867 per year and earn $40,872 after training. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said the contract for dispatchers is up for renewal soon. So it would be a good time to discuss salaries. So it would be a good time to discuss salaries. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com. Lorna Charott Littleway in the Columbia paper previews the August 19 congressional district elections. There is one contest for all voters and another for just Democrats. Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro and Democrat Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan are running for the final weeks of Democrat Antonio Delgado's term, as he has abandoned the post to become Lieutenant Governor. The other election is a primary vote for the new 19th Congressional District that goes into effect in January and does not include Dutchess County, but does extend the district west to include Broome and Tioga counties. Democrat Jamie Chaney is running against Democrat Josh Riley in the primary election. In both elections, voting begins August 13th and ends August 23rd. In Columbia County, voting from August 13th to August 21st is only at the County Office Building at 401 State Street in Hudson and the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building in Valencia. In Greene County, voting August 13th through 21st takes place only at the Greene County Office Building in Catskill. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Ryan Whalen reports at New York State of Politics that Supreme Court Justice Patrick McAllister on August 4th ordered that any change of political party enrollments received on or after August 12th in New York will not be effective until August 30th, closing a loophole in the unusual election this summer. When McAllister scheduled the August elections after quashing the redistricting plan set by legislators, his wording was not completely exact, and he left a loophole that would allow voters to switch parties up to and the day of the election. Erie County Republican Elections Commissioner Ralph Moore said, and I quote, "There are still shenanigans that can occur within the next week. I would have preferred that the judge, both for technical reasons and to give the Board of Elections time to prepare and to stop any party raiding. I wish he would have picked an earlier day than August 12th," end quote. Election officials will now have to update the poll books the night before voting begins. And you can read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather reports, public meetings, the community calendar, and COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please consider clicking on the donate button to become a sustaining supporter or to make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
I choose me.
The pressure's taking over me. I'm
life is toxic. Girl, I'm not relevant to giving no profit. Personal gain of my pain is nonsense. Darling, my demons is off the leash for a mosh pit. Baby, I just had a baby, you know she need me. Working on myself and counseling is not easy. Don't you point a finger, just to point a finger. Cause critical thinking is a deal breaker. Faith in one man is a ship sinking. Do yourself a favor and get a mirror that mirror grievance. They pointed at me so the reflection can mirror freedom. She told me that she need me the most, I didn't believe her. She even called me names on the post, the world can see it. Jokes and gaslighting, mad at me cause she didn't get my vote. She say I'm trifling, disregarding the way that I cope with my own vices. Maybe it's time to break it off, run away from the culture to follow my heart.
Hello everybody, welcome to WGXC 90.7 FM Clubhouse Radio, brought to you by the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. And today, we're back with our guests. Would you guys like care to introduce yourself?
Robin.
I'm Lily.
And I'm Kayla.
So, we were just on the topic of Roe versus Wade, but I feel like things are getting a little too heavy, so I think we could take a little lightheaded break before we go talking about it again. So, I'm curious about the visions and dreams for creative learning. Could you guys tell me more about that, please?
So, essentially, Visions and Dreams is all run by Sia. And she is just the most inspiring woman. And it's essentially a mindfulness and self-esteem retreat for teenagers to escape things like social media pressures, mental health issues, substance abuse issues, and in general have a space to not only talk about all of the things that they struggle with in their day-to-day lives, but also just connect with others, form deeper connections, and have a great time.
Yeah, so this is our second year doing this. Those of us in the show right now have all been here for both years. And basically, like, our day is getting up at about 8 o'clock, and then we do an activity for the day. Sometimes we go and we kayak, or we swim, or we do a hike, or we have someone come in and teach a class. We've had a couple different classes. Like, we did a harm reduction class, we did Reiki, we went to an animal sanctuary. That wasn't really a class, but, you know, fun little field trip. And we'll also do a group session, and we talk about a subject of our choosing, and we just really get to divulge into that and how it affects us.
I think it's also really important to mention that despite the fact that most of us are only with Sia and with Visions and Dreams for 2 weeks or 10 days or something like that, a lot of us continue to meet over Zoom the entire rest of the year, and we continue to connect with the people that we met during the summer and continue to talk and further deepen our issues, further talk about our issues, and we talk about all kinds of like support with diet and exercise and self-esteem in general. And it's a fantastic place. It's a great environment, and everyone we work with, everyone we meet there, it's just a great, happy little community.
Since I've come here, I've done things that I couldn't imagine I would ever done. Like, we've done a poetry class. I have not done poetry since, like, years ago. And I would have not thought, like, that I could help heal other animals, like horses, during Reiki. But this experience helped me grow and thrive as a person and made me more comfortable for who I am and just open all the possibilities.
Yeah, that's super cute. it's a great time. We all love it.
I mean, both years we've been located around this area in New York, and we have people coming from New York City. We have people coming from around the area, and me and one other person, we come from New Hampshire. So all around New England. New England, they're welcome to come.
So, yeah, I think that's awesome. A lot of our values are shared from here at the clubhouse. I mean, we do a harm reduction class, and I think it's awesome, especially with the world. I mean, look at the topic, Roe versus Wade being overturned. It's stressful. Keeping up with the world is stressful. And I think it's awesome that you guys provide a place for the youth to help do that. So, without further ado, that was a nice, happy moment. And now let's talk about the unhappy stuff of the world.
I think a good topic that we haven't really covered yet is essentially this idea that there's this argument with a lot of people who are supporting the Supreme Court's decision that seems to suggest that life and conception and when does life start? And I think that's like a really interesting thing that we could absolutely talk about is this idea of does life start at conception?
I think that's an awesome question. It's super open to interpretation. I would love to. I think if that's the question, we got to define life, right? We got to get a good definition for semantics so we're not using wrong words. So
I agree, but I also think at the same time it doesn't matter. Like, when life begins is it just doesn't matter to the conversation of abortion, because a life could begin at conception and life could begin at birth, life could begin at heartbeat. I don't think it's really important to define, because no matter when life begins, people still have their right to bodily autonomy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and bodily integrity. I absolutely agree with that. But I do think for the sake of combating the argument of, you know, when viability comes into play and when a baby or a fetus becomes a baby or versus, you know, a collection of cells, I think that is a really interesting topic.
I would say maybe, maybe, like, when you're able to form memories?
Which absolutely cannot happen in utero.
No. and when I'm talking about memories, it doesn't have to be, like, clear memories. It could be, like, Pavlovian learning, like, you're not even, like, a month old and you touch a hot stove and then you're like, oh, and then you won't do it again. Like, it doesn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't even put it in words. The same thing wouldn't happen to a lump of cells. Like, it would just burn for that example. Like, I don't know, for that example, it just ends up being morbid, but, like, other stuff, too, like, falls down. Like,
A
lump of cells isn't going to fall anywhere.
I think there is a clear distinction. There's a clear distinction between a fetus and like, an embryo and, like, a baby. But, you know, I think that either way, the mother still has the right to choose what she gets to do with her body, because, I mean, the truth is, in every medical scenario, you have the right to bodily autonomy. Like, if Kayla needed my, needed an organ of mine.
Yeah, I want your kidneys.
If Kayla needed my kidneys, and she would die without my kidneys, I still don't have to give them to her, because I don't have to sacrifice my body for her life.
Not to mention, if you gave both of them, like, you could probably die too.
Yeah.
That's a very good example. I feel like it almost relates perfectly, because, you're giving life. And even if you somehow disregard all previous, like, the whole conversation we had. Oh my god, I just lost my train of thought. One second. I remember. Like, what's going to happen to the kid after it's born to a parent that literally doesn't want it?
Yeah, and it, like, completely brings up the idea of foster care and adoption and all of those systems are so overcrowded. I mean, sure, it definitely works for some people, and some people have adopted children and done fantastic things. I absolutely support the right to give a baby up for adoption in the same way that I support the right to abort. But, you know, those institutions are not funded by the government nearly as much as they should be. So I think, honestly, if the Supreme Court is really going to overturn the right to abortions, the least they can do is start funneling more money into orphanages and foster care systems to actually care for all of the children that are going to be sent away after their birth, because they're being born to people who don't want them and are being forced to have them.
And also can't afford them, because the thing is, like, people that could afford to have a baby can also afford to have an abortion. People that cannot afford an abortion cannot afford a baby.
Yeah.
So, and that just, that it keeps spiraling into the bigger issues of, like, our poverty in this country, in the wealth gap, and people being born into poverty and these lower class areas and then never getting out of them because of the same cycle that keeps going, and this is only pushing that forward.
It kind of relates back to the same point of, they only care for them while they're in the womb. Once they're out, they don't care.
Exactly. It's like the government could be giving money to the foster care system and to the adoption system, and they could also be giving more money to lower class neighborhoods and just trying to build up those things, because otherwise it's just going to keep cycling.
Yeah. I feel like... Oh, I lost my train of thought again. It's been a long day.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's a little bit off topic, but, I mean, to be completely transparent, the U.S. is funneling so much money into systems such as our military forces, which are super important to protect this country to a certain extent. There's things like our policing system, which get more money than pretty much any country ever. And it gets to a point where it's fairly unnecessary. I mean, we have so much money as a country. We're fairly an economic powerhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, kingdom of capitalism over here. And, you know, we're not putting our money where it could absolutely be used, especially after this overturning.
I think also it doesn't all have to be money. I definitely agree with you, like 100%. But, like, for somebody who would make the argument, we can't afford it. First of all, that's a lie. Second of all, even if... Even if you couldn't afford money to make policy or money to put into those policies, why not, make it so... Now, gay people still can't adopt across the country. You want to know what would help get many kids out of foster homes where they're living terrible lives? Letting them adopt. It's stuff like that, and it just goes to the point again. And I keep on repeating myself, but they don't care for the kids after they already are born.
And it doesn't even have to be money. You can, like, donate old clothes, like food, like canned food. I've heard, like, a lot of canned food non-profit thingies. Yes, that. Food banks. Where you can, like, give it to people who actually need it. And this, like, if nothing's going to change...